We're going to continue the message that I started this morning on the subject matter, what is a church? And several people commented on Facebook today that the last 10 minutes cut out on the Facebook feed. Well, I'm not going to go back and do all the last 10 minutes. But I do want to kind of emphasize something that I really didn't cover well the very last part of the message. And that is how many times the word ecclesia is translated church or assembly in our English Bible. Now, like I said, I did a study on this. In the book that I wrote, Teachings on the Local Church, and other people have done the very same thing. But I went through all 114 times the word ecclesia is translated church, churches, or assembly in the New Testament. And that includes the 18 times that it's used in a generic, institutional, or an abstract sense, like talking about the church, not a specific church in particular, but the church as an institution, the one that's the kind of church that Jesus started. But even when you look at those 18 generic or abstract times, if you really boil it down, it all comes back to the idea of a local visible assembly every time. Now, there is one time where ecclesia is inserted, the word church, translated church in the English, as an idiomatic word. The idiomatic words in your Bible are the ones that you find in italics. And they're put there, they were put there by the translators to make the passage easier to read. Okay? And then there's three additional times that ecclesia is found, or church, at the end of Romans, 1 Timothy and Titus, in the subscription at the end. Now, one thing is for certain. Every usage of the word ecclesia, translated church or assembly, either refers directly or may be applied to the teaching of a local visible assembly or congregation of baptized believers. Again, I brought out the point this morning. The only exception being is the three times that it's used in its non-Christian usage. And you all know where that is, being good Baptists. You know it's in Acts 19, verse 32, verse 39, in verse 41, where it's translated assembly. I think that's significant because the universal invisible church theorists will tell you that the church, they want to make a big deal out of the called out. But if that were the case, why didn't they translate that, the called out, in Acts chapter 19? Instead, they conveyed the true meaning of the word ecclesia. Assembly. Something that congregates. If you'll read the context, it was an assembly that was gathered and that could be dismissed. You can't do that with the universal invisible spooky church. Now tonight, we're going to look, what is a church? Okay? A church has a definite location. Now, mind you, I'm not talking about this building, all right? I never have called this the church, this building. Well, I guess I have. I'll be down at the church. But I usually try to say, I'll be at the church house. Because really what this is this houses the church of the living God that meets on Buffalo Creek Road. This is the house of God. Now, the unscriptural theory of the universal invisible church has a lot of flaws and glaring errors. But I think maybe the greatest error of all is that the universal invisible church has never once gathered for worship. It has no, because it has no definite location. I want to ask the proponents of the big universal church, what exactly is the stated address of the universal invisible church? You see, I can tell you where Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church meets at. We have a definite location. It's 6939 County Road 15. Chesapeake, Ohio, 45619. If you're dying to get rid of some money, tuck in your love gift. Send it right on. We'll baptize that money. Nah, I'm just kidding. But if somebody did send a lot of money, we'd use it for the Lord. That made everybody a little uncomfortable, didn't it? I'm just teasing, okay? I'm just teasing. But think about this. Does the universal church congregate on the Lord's Day? Who are the elders or pastors who preach and teach at the universal invisible church? Who are they? See, you can tell everybody that you know that you're the church that you are a member of, it has a pastor. His name's Tom Ross. Why doesn't the Universal Invisible Church have a pastor? Because Jesus gifted the churches with pastors and teachers. Well, none of these questions that I just asked you, I know what you're thinking. Well, come on, preacher, that's crazy. I mean, those are nonsensical questions. Because the Universal Invisible Church has never congregated. Right. None of those questions can be answered intelligently or reasonably because the Universal Invisible Church has never congregated. It has no real location. It has no pastor. I loved what Brother Cockrell wrote. By the way, he has a book called In Search of the Universal Invisible Church. And it's just a little power-packed little book that you could read in one sitting. He was a strong church man. I love Brother Cockrell. What an influence he had on my life. And I loved his uncompromising stand on what the Bible taught about the New Testament church. Here's what he wrote. The word ecclesia does not mean the called out. It means assembly, congregation, gathering, or meeting. The literal and primary meaning precludes the so-called universal invisible church. There is no such thing as an assembly which cannot assemble, or a congregation that never congregates. The meaning for the word prohibits such a meaning. The universal invisible church has never assembled and never will on this earth in this gospel age. Hence, such a thing is a mere concept of the mind, having no real existence in time or place. You know what bothers me? How so many people, the majority of people who are professing Christians, have fully embraced without even questioning the universal, visible or universal invisible church theory. They've just embraced it out of hand without any research whatsoever. Say, well, how can that be? Why would God use the writers of Scripture to put the word church in there, ecclesia, so many times referring specifically to a church that meets at a specific locality, and yet people still maintain the universal invisible church? Why is it just a few Baptists through the ages? And I believe that Baptists have believed this through the ages, through the centuries. Why is it that nobody sees it? Well, you know me. It's certainly not because I'm smarter than other people, or have more education, or a more powerful intellect. But you read the Bible, and you're going to find a lot of cases where Jesus tells the members of the first church, you know, God doesn't reveal everything to everybody. It's fact. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. He's chosen the base to confound the mighty. And that's the only explanation. Because people with a lot more degrees behind their name, who have a lot more education, espouse the universal invisible church without question and look down their religious noses at people like me who say, no, that's not right. I don't care how many people say that it is, it's not right. Now, how stark is the difference between the mythical, spooky, universal, and invisible church from the churches that are recorded in various locations in the New Testament Scripture? Ecclesia is translated 37 times in the plural form churches. You know, you remember your grammar lessons. Right? If it's plural, it means there's more than one. And of course, this means that in the New Testament, there were a plurality of churches. Each one located in a definite place, each one recognized as the body of Christ in that specific place. When Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ, he was writing to the church of God which was at Corinth. He regarded them, in fact, he called them the whole church. Now, it is interesting to note that when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said in 1 Corinthians 16, 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Here's another one. This is a universal invisible church killer. He said in the same verse, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Okay? Now, if Paul believed in the universal invisible church, or even in what some would call a provincial church, wouldn't he have said the church of Christ salutes you? Wouldn't he have said the church of Asia salutes you? If those churches were just something part of something bigger? Now, he recognized each one as a church, an independent, autonomous body of believers. You see, Paul recognized, by the way, how in the world are you going to get the redeemed of all ages that comprise the big universal church? How are you going to get them in the house of Priscilla and Aquila for a revival meeting. How are you going to get him in there? You say, come on, now aren't you just straining at a gnat? No, I'm just being, I'm talking Bible here. The church, they had a church meeting in their house. You know, Baptists have had to do that through the years. We live in such luxury. I mean, we come to a building that's comfortable. We got padded pews. In the winter, we got heat. In the summer, we got AC. We have so much. Got nice piano. Lights that work most of the time. I mean, we're blessed. But you know, our Baptist forefathers, at times, had to meet in secret because they were being hunted down. They had to meet in caves. All that God would give us the boldness to stand for truth in a day when we've been given so many advantages. Now, when Jesus wanted to communicate to the seven churches of Asia, the Holy Spirit did not inspire John to write to the universal church of Asia, did he? You say, well, how would I know? Well, hopefully you're reading your Bible. Revelation 1:4, the Bible says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. And in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the location of each particular church is clearly identified by where it's located. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. They were real congregations of Jesus Christ. And then, this I'll say this in passing, these scriptures where a definite location of a specific church is given. Acts 8:1, the church which was at Jerusalem. Acts 13:1, the church which was at Antioch. By the way, Jerusalem sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch for the purpose of organizing a church in Antioch, and it became a church under his leadership, the church that was at Antioch, under the church of God which is at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:2, under the church of the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, the church that is at Babylon, 1 Peter 5:13. Now I do find it instructive that three times, and I love this one, this is one of my favorite passages. Three times the writers of Scripture refer to a local church. Now get this language. As the whole church in that specific location. Each local church in the New Testament may be regarded as a genuine whole body of Christ, not just part of something bigger. Listen carefully. Acts 15:22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church. What church are they talking about there? What whole church were they? Jerusalem. To send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Romans 16:23, Gaius, mine host, and the whole church saluteth you. 1 Corinthians 14:23, this is a good one. It says, if therefore the whole church, what church is talking about? The church at Corinth. If the whole church, and listen to how this is worded, become together into one place. The whole church can come together in one place. All the redeemed are not referenced in those passages. Each passage refers to a specific church that congregated in a definite location. Each congregation was identified as the whole church in that location. Now, I could do a whole series of studies, and I may go through the book, Teachings on Local Church. I love writing that book. I love reading that book. I love preaching that book. Because it's all about this book, about the New Testament church. But a whole series of studies that we're not going to do tonight could be done illustrating that every single one of the metaphors of what a church is like in Scripture suggests a local, visible entity, as opposed to a universal visible or universal invisible one. Let me just give you some questions. Who ever heard of embracing an invisible bride? Who's ever hugged an invisible? Where's the fun in that? You can't embrace an invisible bride. The church is likened to a bride. When was the last time that you walked into an invisible building? The church is likened to a building that's fitly framed together in Ephesians chapter 2. How would you get light from an invisible candlestick? Churches are likened to, in Revelation, each church is likened to, metaphorically, there are seven golden candlesticks. You ever seen light on an invisible candlestick? That'd be spooky. Can't happen. How would you shear sheep from an invisible flock? You know, Jesus called the church, He said, "Fear not, little flock." It's likened to a flock of sheep. Again, you might say, well, those are dumb questions. And I would agree with you. But I wonder why people don't think along these lines. Metaphors suggest something real. They're trying to set forth something real. Every metaphor of the church suggests a visible entity occupying time and space. The teaching of a local visible assembly of baptized believers can be applied in every single metaphor. Yet the teaching of a universal invisible church can never be logically or intelligently applied. From the usage and the etymology of the word church, as well as the metaphors of Scripture used to describe a church, it is decidedly clear that the church is local in nature, to the exclusion of the teaching of a mythical, universal, invisible church, which is a falsehood. Many other examples illustrating the fact that churches of the New Testament were congregations of baptized believers that gathered in a definite location could be cited. But it'll suffice for now to say that the New Testament makes it crystal clear, once again, that a church is a local visible body. of baptized believers that congregates for worship under the headship of Jesus Christ for the express purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. The churches identified throughout inspired Scripture were in no way universal or invisible. They were real. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to go into some detail on the fact, what is a church? A church may be defined by what it does, what its mission is. Let's all stand.
Page number 61.